Flying the Flag by Alex Shearer, starring Dinsdale Landon as Her Majesty's Ambassador, Mr. Mackenzie, with Peter Acre, Moya Leslie, Stephen Greif, and Christopher Benjamin as Colonel Surikoff. A Tooth for a Tooth.
Morning, William.
Morning, sir.
Much on?
That's a few pages, sir. Sorted through it. Wheat in this folder, sir, and chaff in this one.
Well, you can have these others back then. Right, pearls in this file, a swine in that one. I'm sorry to hear about your insomnia, William.
Pardon, sir?
Well, I understand from Helen that you were here at 1:45.
Oh, the banging woke me up, sir. Yes, out in the street. They seem to be having another worknick.
Oh, sir, that's what it is. I mean, they have more worknicks than teddy bears have picnics.
Oh, well, all in a day's communism, sir. Workers freely and spontaneously donating 12 hours' labour to the government.
Yes, freely and spontaneously being the operative words. But I thought they only had worknicks on Saturdays.
Usually, sir, yes.
Then why have they got one today, William?
Oh, well, they've given them the day off, sir. Mind you, I mean, these worknicks, and they do seem to apply only to the proletariat.
The proletariat, yes. Do you know, I've often thought that communism would be quite an attractive political system in many ways, if it weren't for the working classes.
Mr. Ambassador, how are you?
Colonel Surikoff, do come in. Please, sit down.
Thank you. Now, this morning, Mr. Ambassador, without beating up the bushes or pausing for further ados, I must immediately put my cards under the table and formally protest.
Yes, well, on this occasion, Colonel, so I regret, must I?
Ah, you are going to protest too? Oh, well, in that event, if we are all protesting, hadn't we better first have a whiskey to wet our bugles?
Yes, well, of course, there's nothing worse than a dry bugle, Colonel, but I don't know if I actually have any lubricant here at this moment.
Behind the curtain on the window ledge, Mr. Ambassador, inside the pot plant. I saw it from the street as I arrived.
How perceptive, Colonel. Well, would you care to protest first? I think as a visitor, protocol would dictate that your objection had precedence, so please do rant away, Colonel.
No, really, Mr. Ambassador. Do go berserk first.
Very well. Cheers.
Cheers.
It's in connection with your embassy in London. There appears to be what can only be called rampant abuse of diplomatic privilege going on, specifically related to the non-payment of rates on the embassy building.
Ah, I am aware of this matter already, Mr. Ambassador. And you have our government's earnest assurance that the check is in the post.
Now, that's all very fine, Colonel, but where is the post? Which brings me to the second matter, the non-payment of parking tickets.
Parking tickets?
To date, your London embassy has collected 9,126 parking tickets, all unpaid. That's, say, £12 apiece. That represents a loss of revenue of £109,512.
It is hardly our fault, Mr. Ambassador, that we are so inadequately supplied with parking facilities in your country that we have to make use of the double yellow lines.
It is not only double yellow lines, Colonel. Your diplomats are also making use of pavements, pedestrian crossings, private citizens' living rooms, and traffic wardens' feet. And quite a degree of intoxicated driving is also going on.
Nonsense, Mr. Ambassador. Slanderous accusations. Under the new reforms, all diplomats here and abroad are strictly forbidden to drink during working hours.
Another whiskey, Colonel.
Thank you, just a small one. Besides, take your position here. Do you offer us the facilities we offer you? You yourself are free to park wherever you choose, unhampered by petty restrictions. And why? Because here we have social justice and equality. Because here the roads belong to everyone.
And because here you haven't got any cars, Colonel. Apart from members of the Politburo, of course, who drive them up the centre of the road at 100 miles an hour.
Cars are limited in number, only because we see how they have polluted the West, and we do not wish to follow your example. Here we have environmental concern and clean air, which every citizen is free to breathe, on production of the appropriate permit obtainable at a nominal charge.
I'm sure your air is second to none, Colonel, especially the hot variety, even if a trifle radioactive at times.
Very well. I will look into it, Mr. Ambassador, and see what can be done. Now, I must protest, and on a far more serious matter.
Well, the floor is yours, Colonel.
Thank you. I hope it will not be necessary for me to wipe anyone with it. Now, it has come to our attention, Mr. Ambassador, that certain debris, shall I say, certain flotsam and jetsam from the great patriotic war...
The Second World War, you mean, Colonel?
Yes, when our countries fought together as allies. Well, Mr. Ambassador, it now appears, according to information which we have received...
From unimpeachable sources, I'm sure, Colonel.
Naturally, from persons unafraid to speak out...
Who wish to remain anonymous.
Who wish to remain anonymous. That a certain now elderly Hitlerite fascist guilty of crimes against humanity has found safe passage and sanctuary...
South America has nothing to do with us, Colonel. I think you're in the wrong embassy.
I was not going to mention South America, Mr. Ambassador. I was going to see Birmingham.
Birmingham, Colonel? Are you serious?
Of course, I am always serious. I have the documents here. Names, dates, places. The evidence is irrefutable. All that is required is action.
Thank you.
I trust you will forward the information to London and demand this war criminal be returned to us to face justice and stand trial.
Well, I can't formally respond at this moment, but I will certainly peruse the file and forward it together with my comments and recommendations as soon as possible.
Very well, Mr. Ambassador. We have waited this long. We can wait a little longer, but not too long, I hope. He is an old man, and time is running out. The hands move round the clock. None of us is getting any taller.
No, or younger, indeed, Colonel.
Well, don't let me stop you, Mr. Ambassador.
From what, Colonel?
Having another whiskey.
Well, it's ludicrous, sir. I mean, the way they carry on here, you'd think we had the remnants of the entire Third Reich holed up in a pensioner's retirement home on the South Downs. I mean, why do you think they do it, sir? What's behind it? I mean, do they believe these allegations?
Oh, a little international embarrassment goes a long way, William. We're out of the Cold War now and into the war of hot flushes and hotter political potatoes.
Well, it's rich coming from them, sir. I mean, their own record on human rights isn't exactly going to make it onto compact disc.
True, but in fairness, the communists did suffer tremendous losses in the Second World War.
But even so, sir, I mean, the man is 83 now. Is there still a point?
But war crimes are war crimes, William. There isn't a statute of limitations on them.
Not even for an 83-year-old man with one lung and failing eyesight, sir.
Questions of guilt and innocence are not determined by asking people to read out the letters on the chart and by counting up the number of lungs they have and dividing the result by two. Let's not forget, William, people lived through nightmares.
Well, yes, I know that, sir.
Which, for some, haven't yet stopped.
And what about forgiveness, sir? Where does that start?
William, we are not talking about unpaid parking tickets. We are dealing with crimes against humanity, if this is to be believed.
Well, I mean, how acts of vengeance on an 83-year-old man are supposed to set an example to anyone, I don't understand.
There is vengeance, admittedly, but there is also justice. And anyway, you and I are not in a position to judge, William. We aren't the people who suffered.
Well, are the people who suffered the best ones to judge, sir? You know, when the victim and the judge are the same person? What does that say for the fairness of the trial?
If we could put the righteous indignation on the back burner for a while, William, and continue with this dossier.
Yes, sir.
Anything of value there?
Well, I mean, these don't exactly seem like crimes against humanity, sir. Yeah, crimes against property, maybe.
I read the rest of the statements before you make your mind up about that.
I just find it incredible, sir, that an 83-year-old in Birmingham called what? Yes, Ronald Cartwright can actually be this... What's his name?
Joseph Muir, amongst other aliases.
And these documents imply that the British government, fully knowing exactly who he was, actually allowed him to enter the country to start life over again.
Yes, I saw.
Well, it's preposterous, isn't it, sir? Well, the British government would never let a known fascist escape the war crimes tribunal, would they?
Now, put it this way, William. It would depend on what he brought with him, wouldn't it?
Oh, what money, sir?
Knowledge, William, information. It is not inconceivable, for example, that at the termination of hostilities, certain individuals would have more use of the Allies alive and talking than dead and otherwise.
Yeah, but this old man in Birmingham, Cartwright, I mean, he and Mia can't be the same person. I mean, Cartwright's got civilian decorations, he's got an OBE.
Yes. Well, let's reserve judgment for the moment, shall we? There are two sides to every story, let us not forget. And Colonel Surikov generally knows all three of them.
I mean, what do you think, Helen?
Do you really want to know what I think, Willie? Or are you just asking me what I think so that as soon as I start saying what I think, you can interrupt me and tell me what you
think? No, really, I want to know what you
think. Well, I suppose looking at it from an outsider's point of view, for a man of
his age... Yes, well, what I really think...
Oh, excuse me one second, William.
What?
I have an official announcement to make. Sir?
Yes, Helen.
The American ambassador rang while you were in conference. I checked your diary and made a provisional appointment for three.
Oh, fine, thank you, Helen. I'll see you then.
Now, where were we?
Oh, yes, sir. What were we talking about?
Oh, yes, Willie. You were about to tell me what I think.
And what I really think, Mac, if you want my gut reaction...
Well, not particularly, Spider. Not in my office. I think a little cerebral reaction might be preferable.
Huh?
It seems to me that whenever there is any kind of emotive issue to be dealt with, it would be far more constructive if people were reacting with the contents of their heads instead of the contents of their stomach.
Well, I'm a guy with flesh and blood opinions, Mac, and it's my considered view on this situation that someone ought to get up off their butt and go kick some ass. We're talking toe-cap here.
I am doing my uttermost, Spider, to bring discreet pressure to bear behind the scenes to draw this matter to a swift and satisfactory conclusion. I regret that the foot-up-the-backside school of diplomacy was not in existence when I underwent my training.
Well, I'll tell you this for nothing, Mac. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of influential individuals in Washington, D.C. who don't like the sound of the U.K. giving safe haven to fascist war criminals.
Alleged haven to alleged war criminals.
They're asking big questions up on Capitol Hill.
I don't doubt they are, Spider, and I suppose they're coming up with the usual size of answers.
The guy was a Nazi, Mac. We're talking swastikas here.
An alleged Nazi, Spider. For all we know, these allegations could be totally bogus and the entire thing nothing but an exercise in international muckraking.
Mac, Sir Rykoff sent my office a copy of the evidence.
Well, good of you to hold the trial and convene the lynch mob.
It looked like propaganda to me.
Propaganda that looks like propaganda is hardly propaganda.
Whose side are you on here, Mac?
I flatter myself that in my old-fashioned way, I'm on the side of seeing justice done, Spino. I no more like fascists, racists, or any other kind of ists than you do.
So why are you letting them into the country? You're saying yes-yes to a no-no.
We are not letting them into the country. Most of the ones we have were born there. And there are plenty, may I remind you, of good old boys in pointed hats back in the U.S. of A., whose own views on racial purity wouldn't bear too close a scrutiny.
Oh, well, yeah, okay, Mac, if you're talking Ku Klux, I'm not saying we don't have our share of home-baked fruitcakes, but bringing bad eggs into the country is a whole different game of screwballs.
It is exactly the same game, Spino. We have to live in the world as it is and deal with the rednecks in it. And when a government, for example, is committed to the punishment of war criminals, but is also, for example, pledged to maintaining a full intelligence service, and when, for example, one turns out to be useful to the other, it's no use looking for boys' own sportsmanship on the field, because you're not going to see it.
The British government is loyal to the interests of Nazi war criminals. Is that what you're saying?
The British government, Spyro, is loyal to the interests of the British people.
Oh, yeah? British people or British establishment? How's Spycatcher doing these days, Mac?
Well, how's the arms business in Iran, Spyro?
Oh, things have been kind of quiet lately, but we're hoping to Look, Mac, if you're saying at one time the guy was useful to you, okay. But that was yesterday. Today you don't need him anymore, so hand him over.
Spyro, if word got about in the espionage classes that those who cooperate with the foreign government would not be protected by it, cooperation would rapidly cease, would it not?
So these accusations are for real, Mac, is that what you're saying? And as long as he spills the beans to you, he gets a free pardon for what he did to everyone else.
I am speaking hypothetically, Spino. I know nothing about the validity of this individual case.
Well, I sure hope there ain't no truth in the rumors, Mac, because the way this business is going, it should be reaching for the roll-on, you know what I mean? We're talking underarm here.
It's the subtle odor of politics, Spino, and whatever fragrance that is, it was never Chanel number 5.
Never happened in Britain, though.
What wouldn't, Willie?
These work nicks, you know, people working for nothing.
Oh, we've got the next best thing to it, though.
What's that?
People working for next to nothing.
Could you honestly see everyone in the UK freely and spontaneously donating a day's work to the government just for the glory of it?
Not freely and spontaneously, no. Maybe with a certain amount of coercion.
Yeah, like a baton charge. I mean, why do they do it?
They have a choice.
Yeah, they're not serfs anymore. I mean, they're not slaves.
Slaves to habit and doing as the neighbours do. Look what people at home do with their time off. Sit in traffic jams, visit relatives they don't like, go round stately homes they don't want to see. Why do they do that? They don't have to.
Yeah, but that's different. They're enjoying themselves.
It's just a different way of looking at things, isn't it? Here it's all for society and stuff the individual. At home it's all me and stuff the government.
Oh, come on, Helen, it's stuff the government everywhere. You wait till this new openness policy introduces a little private enterprise. Yeah, then these worknicks will be a thing of the past. I mean, it's nice to get a medal saying that you're a hero of socialist labour. You can't buy much with it.
While being a hero of capitalist exploitation, Willie, will probably get you a knighthood.
Mm. I think that's what Mac's saving up his pennies for.
You think he wants it gone?
Don't you? I mean, something for his retirement. I mean, an ambassador without any decorations. It's like a Christmas tree without a fairy.
You think he'll ever get one?
Well, If the 2 or 3 million people he's directly or indirectly offended during the course of an abrasive career all freely and spontaneously decided to have a forgivenick, might be in with a slim chance.
Well, Mr. Ambassador...
I regret the answer is no, Colonel.
No? Why?
Insufficient evidence.
But we have everything documented. Chapter, verse, sentence and paragraph. What further evidence do you need?
It is the government's considered view, Colonel, that the allegations as they stand are unsubstantiated and the evidence as it is fragmentary.
Fragmentary? You do not accept this man Cartwright is Joseph Meir?
No, Colonel. The government accepts that he is not of British origin and that Meir is his original surname. But beyond that, nothing has been proved. And it sees no reason for prosecution under the law since he observed all immigration rules when he entered the country.
Mr. Ambassador, we do not wish to bring Joseph Meir to trial for breach of your immigration rules, but for more serious reasons. He was, after all, a member of the Nazi Party.
Fleetingly, Colonel, yes, but Mr. Meir would at one time, on his journey through the political spectrum, also, according to our records, appear to have had a cautious flirtation with the Communist Party.
Possibly.
Even gone steady for a while.
Well, perhaps...
And maybe the government's reading of the situation and unease at extraditing him is that they fear he is wanted more for crimes against ideology than for crimes against anything else.
But you have read the evidence, Mr. Ambassador. You have seen it for yourself. Does it make pleasant reading?
No, Colonel, it does not. But does it make accurate reading? These are extremely emotive issues, after all.
In other words, the British authorities are actively complicit in saving Hitlerite fascists from justice and retribution.
I can't comment on that, Colonel. I am only the government's mouthpiece, not its confessional box.
Ah, I find it ironical that the country so ready to talk about human rights elsewhere is so willing to ignore them at all.
Colonel, it is not the government's wish to deny anyone's human rights, which is why they are exercising caution.
Caution in the UK must be a very fit animal, the amount of exercise it gets. If only decisive action were as healthy.
We do have a concept of justice, fundamental to which is that a man is innocent until proven guilty.
Certainly, Mr. Ambassador, but that does not mean the accused should not stand trial.
Then I will relay your dissatisfaction to Whitehall, Colonel, and perhaps if you can produce any additional evidence...
I'll see what I can find.
But would you care for whiskey, Colonel?
No, thank you, Mr. Ambassador.
What?
I must go.
Before you do, Colonel, I'm sorry to bring the matter up in this context, but will your embassy in London be paying those parking fines?
No, Mr. Ambassador, I fear not. The allegations are unsubstantiated and the evidence as it stands too fragmentary.
Your embassy has received over 9,000 parking tickets, Colonel. I would hardly call that fragmentary.
Exactly, Mr. Ambassador. And anyway, I am only my government's mouthpiece. I am not its wallet. Good day.
They won't extradite him.
No, I think it's disgusting.
You think everything's disgusting, Willie? They want to put an 83-year-old man on trial. That's disgusting. We won't let them do it. That's disgusting too. What about consistency? Where does that come in?
Oh, well, maybe he should stand trial then. I don't know. Only because, you know, if he doesn't, everyone will just say he's guilty. But, I mean, where does it ever end? You know, eyes for eyes, teeth for teeth. I mean, where do you stop? You might as well cut shoplifters' hands off, castrate rapists.
Well, I wouldn't risk a referendum on it.
Yeah, well, you maim me, so I maim you. The two of us maimed instead of one, the world's a better place to live in.
Well, turning the other cheek until your head gets knocked off doesn't make the world a better place to live in either, Willie.
Yeah. 2 months' leave, that might make the world a better place to live in.
I'll go along with that.
Oh, well, I better go and see the old man, I suppose. That definitely won't make the world a better place to live in.
Good luck.
Nasty business, this, William.
Yes, sir, very... Certainly dragging on.
Yes, yeah, digging up the square out there too, I see.
Yes, I don't know where they get the holes from. They seem to have an inexhaustible underground supply, sir. Maybe they import them. In fact, I'm surprised there aren't queues outside the shop, sir. You know, buy your hole here, take it home and put it in the garden.
Yes, William, quite. Where would we be without you to keep our spirits up? You've read the additional testimonies Selikoff sent round.
What, the eyewitness accounts? Mm. Yes, sir. Pretty heavy reading, too.
Yes, I wonder why you didn't send them with the initial evidence. I mean, some of these testimonies, well, they agree too closely. Genuine evidence is often conflicting and contradictory.
Well, yes, sir, but if we reject evidence because it's contradictory and say reject it because it's consistent, what evidence do we accept? I mean, Mir, alias Cartwright, certainly comes over as a thoroughly sordid piece of work.
Yes, but even allowing the veracity of these statements, William, there's still the question of positive identification. I mean, look at this photograph. I mean, Mir, 36, and here's Cartwright today. Well, is it the same Mir or a different one?
Well, there is a slight resemblance.
It doesn't look much like him to me, even allowing for the wrinkles.
Well, no, sir, but I mean, I've got a photograph of myself, taken 26 years ago, and I don't look much like that.
Yes, but how old were you 26 years ago, William?
Well, I'm 4 and a half, sir. Oh. But it's arguable, isn't it? Maybe it'll be enough to change their minds in Whitehall.
Minds in Whitehall, William, are not amenable to change.
Well, I think if the government doesn't take some kind of action, sir, British prestige in certain quarters is going to sink to an all-time low.
In one quarter or another, William, British prestige is always at an all-time low, even if never before in the vicinity of your office.
Well, it'll take more than an act of diplomacy to sort this one out, sir. It'll need an act of God.
Ah, we can but hope, William. It is rumoured he moves in mysterious ways, his wonders and blunders to perform, very much along the lines of the mandarins in the Foreign Office, if marginally less inscrutable. Come in.
Sorry to disturb you, Sir Tenet.
Thank you, Helen. Well, don't let me keep you, William.
Oh, no, sir. Just going.
Helen?
Yes, sir?
When did this telex arrive?
Just now, this very minute.
Look, get on to London, Helen. Ask if they can leave it in purgatory for a while.
Right, sir. Sorry, sir. Purgatory?
In purgatory, information is only temporarily held back from the media, while dispatches in limbo languish and aren't released until they're no longer topical or the person who could get into trouble is dead.
So what's hell then, sir, apart from other people?
That's the Official Secrets Act, Helen.
Oh, of course.
Anyway, if we can leave this discussion of bureaucratic existentialism till another time.
Yes, sir. How long do you want the press release delayed?
Oh, try and get 36 hours.
Right, sir. I'll telex now.
Fine. Oh, and then ring the commissariat and ask if Colonel Surikov's available. I'll see him at any time, and I won't hide the whiskey.
Right, sir. Long time since the whiskey's been out of limbo.
So why this sudden change of heart, Mr. Ambassador?
Well, more of a change of head, really, Colonel. I think the additional eyewitness accounts you provided raise some rather pertinent question marks.
So you accept Joseph Mir is who we say he is?
I certainly accept there is a case to be investigated, Colonel. The outcome of it is another matter. Anyway, we've agreed to a formal interview here in the embassy.
Good. And when will this take place?
A full authorization hasn't yet arrived, but you have my personal assurance that matters will come to a satisfactory conclusion within the immediately foreseeable future.
Ah, good. So we can relax again, Mr. Ambassador?
Oh, I think so, Colonel.
Nothing is more wearisome than these oppressive diplomatic interchanges and formalities.
Absolutely.
So, shall we have a whiskey? I believe there was some in the offing.
Oh, yes, yes, so there was. Have you had any more thoughts about parking tickets at all, Colonel?
Parking tickets?
Mm.
No, I have had no thoughts about parking tickets, Mr. Ambassador. Why should I be troubling myself with depressing thoughts of parking tickets?
Your London Embassy's parking tickets, Colonel.
Oh, those parking tickets. I thought you were talking in general terms of the whole philosophy of parking tickets.
Your diplomat's parking tickets are still outstanding, Colonel.
Everything about our glorious diplomats abroad is outstanding, Mr. Ambassador.
Naturally, Keller. However, I was wondering if there was any possibility of the tickets being paid.
Ah, no, in that matter, I thought we could perhaps do a trade.
A trade, Colonel? Yes. Well, what sort of trade did you have in mind? Your whiskey.
Oh, thank you, Mr. Ambassador. Cheers.
Cheers.
Simply that you forget our infringement of your parking regulations and we will overlook your infringement of ours.
What infringement, Colonel?
Endlessly leaving your cars, Mr. Ambassador, on the double yellow lines outside your embassy.
What double yellow lines, Colonel?
If you look out of the window, you will see them being painted on now.
But if you're only putting them down now, Colonel, how can we possibly have infringed any parking regulations beforehand?
No, Mr. Ambassador, I am afraid you do not quite understand. We are painting them retrospectively.
Retrospectively, Colonel?
Yes, a retrospective yellow lines, Mr. Ambassador. They go back over 20 years, I'm afraid. The retrospective parking tickets will be arriving shortly. There should be no more than 10 or 20,000 of them. So what do you say now to my proposal that we mutually wipe the clean slate and start from each all over again?
Well, that was highly convenient, wasn't it, Helen? Very handy indeed.
Yes, Willie.
Did we agree to bring Mira over to answer a few pertinent questions, and barely 24 hours later, he swings back his right foot and goes and kicks the bucket.
He was 83, William.
Well, he certainly had a sense of timing. He couldn't have done better if he'd ordered an alarm call. It's odd, though. I mean, when did that first dispatch come? The one from London, sort of agreeing to hand him over.
It didn't, Willie.
What do you mean?
I mean, it didn't. There was no dispatch agreeing to his extradition.
But Matt told Surikov that was what we were going to do.
Yes, I know.
Well, I mean, he hasn't got the authority to make those sort of decisions without clearance from Whitehall. He can't make policy like that. God, he could have got into terrible trouble. Whew, he was lucky that Mir died. But just say he hadn't. I mean, and the communists were expecting it. Oh, I see.
Yes, exactly, Willie.
So when Matt promised to hand him over, he was already dead.
Yes, Willie, you got there. He felt it was an olive branch we could afford to proffer in the circumstances.
And he froze the news of Mir's death to give him time to pretend to Surikov that we were extraditing him.
Yes, I suppose you could put it like that.
Yes, and that's an exercise in diplomacy. I think Mac's wasting his talents here. He should be out selling double glazing.
And perhaps you might like to suggest it to him, Willie. He might even offer you a discount.
So that's it, is it? You know, everyone's happy, are they? And we come out of it smelling of roses, looking like a country with a conscience, decent enough to extradite Cartwright to stand trial, when we had absolutely no intention of doing so. So no one rocks the boat, no one rattles the bones, the skeleton stays in the cupboard, and the file goes back into the cabinet.
If there ever was a skeleton in the cupboard, Willie.
Well, what do you think?
Well, I wouldn't describe myself as a cupboard expert, but I suppose what I really think...
Well, I think it's disgusting. That's what I think.
That everything?
Yes, I think so, sir.
Unsavoury business, William.
Yes, sir.
What do you make of it all,
What, me, sir? Well, with respect, I think that there's an act in the annals of opportunism, a pragmatism, a political expediency, and sheer cold-blooded cynicism. It's pretty hard to beat, sir.
Quite unforgivable, in fact,
yes, sir, quite unforgivable.
That was in the Times this morning.
No, sir, why?
No, the obituary notices. Here, Ronald J. Cartwright, brackets Mir, peacefully in his sleep after a long illness, sadly missed.
Sadly missed, sir? Sadly missed by Colonel Surikov.
Sadly missed by wife Renée, sons Peter and Martin, and grandchildren June, Emily and Simon.
I didn't know.
No flowers, donations to cancer research, in forgiveness, peace.
What a curious phrase, sir. What does that tell us?
As much as we'll ever like you to find out. That's the trouble with this job. You know the ending or you know the beginning, but you seldom get the full story. In fact, when I retire, I've half a mind to write half a memoir describing how I spent half a lifetime half knowing what I was doing. Oh, it can be very stultifying at times, will you?
Yes, sir, not half.
Oh, I meant to say, mind where you park your car in future. Try and avoid the new double yellow lines out there.
Oh, right, sir, yes. I see they're still digging holes in the square.
Yes, a bit like diplomacy, really, isn't it, William? Council work.
Yes, sir. Is it?
Well, all in the maintenance and refuse disposal business. I mean, people keep making the world an untidy place to live in, and we go around clearing up the mess. We call it flying the flag, William. But it's really just pushing the broom.
Yes, sir. I sometimes wonder if it's not too late to try for a job in advertising.
In A Tooth for a Tooth, you heard Dinsdale Landon as Mr. Mackenzie, Peter Acre as William Frost, Moya Leslie as Helen, Stephen Greif as the United States Ambassador, and Christopher Benjamin as Colonel Surikov. Flying the Flag was written by Alex Shearer and produced by Pete Atkin.